Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right. Let's dive into the world of snacks. We're talking Mondelez International, you know, the company behind Oreos, Ritz, Cadbury, all those good things. They just released their Q3 2024 performance data, and we've got a stack of sources, earnings slides, press releases, financial statements, the whole shebang. So get ready for some serious snackonomics.
You know, it's really fascinating. Mondelez is actually in a pretty sweet spot. Even with all the economic craziness happening globally, their adjusted operating income is up over 20%.
Yeah.
And even more impressive, over 22% when you adjust for currency.
Whoa, hold on. That's a huge jump. For a company as massive as Mondelez, seeing that kind of profit growth is like watching an elephant tap dance. Impressive and unexpected. So what's the secret? Are people just really, really hungry for Oreos?
Well, it's a bit more complex than that. While those late-night Oreo cravings definitely help, it's their strategic pricing and cost management that's playing a huge role. Imagine trying to balance a budget when the price of everything, especially ingredients like cocoa, is skyrocketing.
Okay, you're talking about that crazy 80% jump in cocoa prices? That must be hitting Mondelez hard. Do they just make everything more expensive?
Exactly. And that's where their savvy approach comes in. They've been implementing these carefully calculated price increases. Think about that recent price hike for Oreos, you know, the one you saw at the grocery store. That's not random. It's a strategic move. They're trying to offset those cocoa costs, but keep sales steady. It's like a high-stakes chess game. Except instead of rooks and pawns, it's chocolate chips and crackers.
Oh. So it's all part of their RGM playbook, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
That whole revenue growth management thing?
Exactly. And the beauty of it, they're not just blindly raising prices. They're thinking about it across all their different products and regions. They're fine-tuning prices based on what makes sense for different parts of the world.
So they're like, what, the snacking world's version of a master conductor? They're orchestrating price changes across this global symphony of snacks. But are people actually buying it?
Yeah.
Or are they scared off by those higher prices?
Well, that's what's so fascinating. Their biscuit and chocolate categories are doing exceptionally well. Even with all the inflation talk, people are still turning to those comfort snacks.
Yeah, that makes sense. When the world feels chaotic, sometimes all you need is that familiar taste. It's the power of those iconic brands, Oreo, Ritz. People trust them. They have history with them. And that drives sales.
You're exactly right. And it's not just holding on to those existing customers. Mondelez is actually gaining market share.
So they're playing defense with strategic pricing, but also going on the offensive. I'm thinking about their purchase of Everth, you know, the cakes and pastries company in China.
Oh, that's a really interesting move. It shows they're not content with just the traditional snack market. They want new territory. And cakes and pastries are booming in China.
So it's like they're saying, hey, if people in China want cake with their tea, we're going to be the ones to give it to them.
Pretty smart, if you ask me. It is. It's definitely a risk. But with the Chinese market growing like it is, it could be huge. But, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows for Mondelez. Their financials show some bumps, too.
You're talking about those intangible asset impairment charges, specifically the ones connected to underperforming biscuits. In Europe, AMEA, and Latin America.
Exactly. Those charges were significant, $153 million, if you can believe it.
Ouch. That's a hit. What happened? Did those biscuit brands just lose their crunch?
It seems like it was a few things. You've got those customer price negotiations from last quarter. You know, the ones that disrupted the European market? Those are still having an effect. Then there's the constant commodity cost increases. And of course, ever-changing consumer tastes. Sometimes what worked in the past just doesn't anymore.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that even giants like Mondelez can stumble. I guess it also shows they're willing to acknowledge when something's not working and then make adjustments. They're not afraid to take a hit if it means staying competitive
You're right. It shows they're constantly evaluating and making tough calls about what brands stay and go. And speaking of taking hits, we can't ignore the global landscape. The war in Ukraine and the conflict in the Middle East, they're adding a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, you're telling me. Those conflicts are impacting everything. Supply chains, consumer behavior, the whole economy.
And Mondelez is right in the middle of it. They're trying to maintain business in regions facing some serious challenges. And then there's that huge ERP system implementation.
Why, remind me, what's ERP again? Is that like getting a discount when you buy snacks in bulk?
Not quite. Yeah. ERP stands for Enterprise Resource Planning. Think of it as really sophisticated software. It helps manage all the core business functions, everything from finance and supply chain to HR. It's all connected through this system.
So it's like the central nervous system of the whole company.
Yeah.
And they're giving it a $1.2 billion upgrade.
Exactly. And for a company as global as Mondelez, you know, operating in over 160 countries, this is massive. They're basically rewiring their entire digital infrastructure over the next 5 years.
Wow, that's a big move. It's like they're saying, we're not just a snack company. We're a tech company that makes snacks.
Yeah, it really does signal a shift that they're investing heavily in tech, trying to streamline their operations and potentially drive even more growth in the future.
Right. That's a lot to process. Strategic pricing, global expansion, tech upgrades, geopolitical uncertainty. It's a roller coaster ride through the world of snacks.
We're back, ready to break down Mondelez's performance around the world. Let's start with North America, their home turf.
All right. Let's see how they're doing. From the earnings slides, looks like North America had some pretty solid organic net revenue growth, over 12% for the quarter. Not bad.
Right. And if we dig a little deeper, we can see that growth is coming from both price increases, about 9.5%, and volume and mix, about 2.7%. So they're selling more snacks, even with higher prices.
I guess people really don't want to give up their Oreos.
It seems that way. But it's important to note, there are some hints of consumer anxiety. You know, bubbling beneath the surface. The 10Q shows that shoppers are feeling the pinch of inflation, but their confidence in the economy seems okay for now.
So it's kind of like a tightrope walk.
Yeah.
Trying to keep prices attractive, but also covering those rising ingredient costs.
It is. Mondelez even uses this term, elasticities, to measure how sensitive people are to price changes. It's a fancy way of saying, how much can we raise prices before people switch to cheaper snacks? And what they're seeing is that these elasticities are a bit higher than they've been recently, but still pretty stable.
So people are noticing the prices, but not ditching their favorites just yet.
Right. It's also interesting. They're seeing a little shift towards smaller pack sizes. It's like people are managing their snack budgets by buying a bit less at a time.
That's smart. You can still enjoy your Oreos, just a more budget-friendly portion.
Exactly. And amidst all this price sensitivity talk, it's worth noting that seasonal chocolate sales have been strong. People are still indulging in those treats, especially around the holidays.
It goes back to that comfort food idea. Sometimes you just need a chocolate pick-me-up, no matter what's happening in the world. And remember those market share gains for Oreo and Ritz? Those are happening right here in the U.S.
Exactly. It's a double win for Mondelez in North America. They're managing inflation and strengthening their position in the market.
Impressive. Now let's hop across the pond, see how things are going in Europe.
Europe. A bit of a different story. They saw organic net revenue growth of 8.1% in Q3. Not bad, but the 10Q shows a more nuanced picture. Remember those customer price negotiation disruptions in Europe last quarter? They're still having a lingering effect.
Oh, right. Those negotiations were a headache. But it sounds like they're recovering.
They are, and it's thanks to their RGM playbook. They protected sales volumes and kept prices stable, especially for those entry-level and smaller-sized products, a strategic move that seems to have paid off.
So they weathered the storm.
Yeah.
And came out stronger.
Mostly, yes. Now let's switch gears. Let's talk about those emerging markets. You know, they're often seen as the golden goose for companies like Mondelez, full of growth potential.
And how is Mondelez doing in those markets?
Well, they're not seeing double-digit growth like North America, but they're making progress. Emerging markets brought in organic net revenue growth of 5.4% in Q3, driven mostly by price increases, about 5.1%, with a smaller bump from volume and mix, just 0.3%.
So it's mostly the price hikes driving growth there.
It seems that way. And it's interesting to look at consumer sentiment in these markets. Places like India, Brazil, Mexico, they're showing pretty stable confidence. While China is a bit softer, but still optimistic about the economic stimulus measures.
It's fascinating how those regional differences play out. I guess it shows there's no one-size-fits-all approach when you're operating globally.
Absolutely. And what's really intriguing, even with the price increases, those elasticities, you know, the price sensitivity measure, they're staying pretty modest and stable in these markets. And get this, they're actually seeing positive growth in the higher price tiers.
Wait, so people in emerging markets are willing to pay more for premium snacks?
It seems so, which suggests that Mondelez might have some room to adjust prices without losing customers. Of course, they still need to consider their core consumers, those who might be more sensitive to price changes.
It's a delicate balance, appealing to both budget-conscious and discerning snackers.
It is. But speaking of delicate balances, we can't ignore those impairment charges. Remember those struggling biscuit brands? In Europe, AMEA, and Latin America, they're definitely impacting Mondelez's overall performance.
Yeah, those $153 million in charges are hard to miss. It's a reminder that not every move is a home run.
Exactly. And according to the 10Q, these charges are from a slower-than-expected recovery in some markets. They're facing a lot of challenges. The customer price negotiation issues, the commodity cost pressures, and then changing consumer preferences. It's tough out there, even for the snack giants.
So what happened? Did those biscuit brands just lose their appeal?
Hard to say for sure, but the 10Q highlights a couple of biscuit brands in Europe that were hit particularly hard, leading to a $143 million impairment charge. It seems like external factors and maybe some internal missteps contributed to their struggles.
It's a good reminder. Even companies like Mondelez are always adapting. The market changes constantly, and sometimes you got to make tough decisions. Even if it means a short-term financial hit, it's about long-term profitability.
And staying ahead.
You got it. It's like a high-stakes chess game, but with Oreos and Ritz crackers as the pieces and the global economy as the board.
I like that. Now, before we move on, I want to talk about Mondelez selling their developed market gum business.
Oh, yes. That was big, completed late 2023. And the impact is definitely there in the year-over-year numbers, especially in Europe and North America.
So why did they get rid of the gum business? Not minty enough.
It seems like a strategic shift. They're focusing on their core categories. Chocolate, biscuits, big snacks, where they see the most growth, streamlining their portfolio, getting rid of what doesn't fit their vision. So they're like, we're the snack masters. We're going to focus on what we do best. Makes sense.
Exactly. And it's interesting to compare this with their investment in that new ERP system. Remember, $1.2 billion over 5 years.
Right. That ERP system, like the digital backbone of their operations.
Exactly. And with a company as big and complex as Mondelez, operating in over 160 countries, this is huge. The 10Q says they're expecting big things from this system. Streamlined operations, better data insights, faster decisions, like a digital transformation.
Wow, that's bold. But it makes sense. In today's world, tech is everything. If you're not upgrading and innovating, you fall behind.
Absolutely. But let's be realistic. A massive implementation like this has risks. Big IT projects are known for delays, cost overruns, and hiccups.
So it's a gamble, but potentially game-changing.
Exactly. It'll be fascinating to see how it plays out. Will this system deliver? Will it propel Mondelez even further? Only time will tell.
Definitely adding that to my watch list. Now let's talk about inflation. The elephant in the room. It's been a major headwind for everyone, and Mondelez is no exception.
Absolutely. Their earnings slides and the 10Q are full of references to rising costs, especially for ingredients like cocoa.
We talked about the price increases, but are they doing anything else to deal with inflation?
They're taking a multi-pronged approach, which is smart. Besides the price adjustments, they're really focused on operational efficiency and optimizing their supply chain. The 10Q mentions their Simplify to Grow program. It's all about cutting costs and reducing complexity.
So like they're tightening their belts, but still making those delicious snacks.
Exactly. They're also watching consumer behavior closely, making sure their products and marketing are aligned with what customers need.
Like that shift to smaller pack sizes.
Exactly. A perfect example of them adapting.
It's all about being agile and responding quickly when things change.
You got it. And we can't forget about the geopolitical risks. They're adding another layer of complexity.
You're talking about the war in Ukraine and the conflict in the Middle East. They're casting a shadow on the global economy.
Definitely. Those conflicts are causing disruptions everywhere. Supply chain problems, nervous consumers.
And Mondelez is right there, trying to manage their global business in these challenging times.
It's a balancing act for sure. And the 10Q points out some specific impacts. For example, the conflict in the Middle East has affected sales in some AMEA markets, and then their operations in Russia. They've stopped new investments, but they're still operating because of their role in the food supply.
Tough situation.
It is a reminder that even a snack food giant isn't immune to what's happening in the world.
So we've covered a lot. Regional performance, geopolitical risks, everything. Mondelez is facing challenges, but they're also making moves to adapt and stay ahead.
They are. The question is, will it be enough to keep them on track?
That's the big question. Guess we'll have to wait and see. Okay, so we've explored how Mondelez is doing now. But what about the future? What's next for this snacking giant?
That's the exciting part, right? We've seen how they're handling this complex landscape, driving profit growth, making acquisitions, tackling those challenges.
Yeah, they're not just sitting there eating Oreos. But the snacking world is changing fast. What trends are out there that could affect Mondelez?
Well, consumers are getting picky. They want more from their snacks. It's not just about taste anymore. It's about healthy options, sustainable practices, unique flavors.
It's like the snack aisle is a battleground now. Gone are the days of a simple chocolate bar or chips.
Exactly. Consumers are more informed, more health conscious. They're reading labels, checking ingredients, looking for snacks that match their values.
So how does Mondelez keep up? Can they make snacks that are healthy, sustainable, and delicious? Can they do all that without losing that indulgence factor?
That's the question. It's a tough one, but they seem ready for it. Their acquisition of Everth, the cakes and pastries company in China, that could be a move in the right direction.
Right, Everth. That gives them a whole new category of snacks and a fast-growing market.
Exactly. It's diversification beyond chocolate and biscuits, plus those investments in technology, like the ERP system upgrade. That could give them the agility and data to respond to consumer trends.
So it's not just new products, it's the systems that help them innovate and stay ahead.
Exactly. And don't forget their sustainability efforts. Mondelez has made big commitments to reduce their environmental impact and source ethically.
That's smart. Consumers care about those things now. It's not just about what tastes good, it's about what feels good to support.
You got it. And it goes beyond just consumers. Sustainability is key for the planet and ultimately for any business to succeed long term.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think it's clear that Mondelez is more than just snacks. It's a global company making strategic moves. And their future depends on how well they adapt, innovate, and connect with consumers.
Couldn't have said it better. It's a dynamic and competitive world. And Mondelez is right in the thick of it, shaping the future of snacking.
It's been a fascinating journey exploring the world of Mondelez. And for you listening, the real deep dive starts now. What snacking trends have you noticed? What innovations will shape the snacks of tomorrow? And most importantly, what snack are you grabbing next?
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.